אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Rodney Pollack is a graduate of Yavne College. He's a registered music therapist, sound journey facilitator, and a musician. Rodney works with a wide range of people in the context of mental health, pediatrics and adolescence, disability, and palliative care. Rodney tells us how music therapy supports clients, patients and their families, allowing them to express their emotions and find ways to improve their health and well-being. Hi Rodney, and thanks for joining us today.
Hello.
In a few sentences, tell us about yourself.
Sure thing. I am a Melbourne-based music therapist, currently working at a palliative care hospital a couple of days a week, and also working at a pediatrics clinic, as well as doing some private work. Born and bred in Melbourne. Yeah, just been a music therapist for the last 8 years. I went back to studying music therapy when I was 30 years old. And yeah, it took me a long time to find a profession that was meaningful and aligned, but I feel like I've found it, so I feel very blessed to be there.
Most people don't quite understand what music therapy is all about. They might think it's just about listening to music. Could you please explain how music is applied as therapy, and perhaps how it is different from verbal therapy?
So it's a good question. I think most of the time when I talk about music therapy, people don't really know what it is, and it's actually quite hard to explain. But I think as a starting point, we as humans, we're actually wired to interact and engage with music. The way our brains are put together cognitively, to listen to music, to engage with music, it's a full cognitive process. So whereas language is processed in one area of the brain, with music, it activates the memory center, the rhythmic center, language as well, the area of the brain that processes melody. Yeah, so in that way, as music therapists, we really focus on what are the health needs of the people we're working with, and then use music in different ways to support that. And that can include music listening, it can include playing music, songwriting. But I think, it's interesting that we don't actually know what music therapy is, because music is so much, it's a part of our lives from, when we're born until we die. And we use it for celebrations. A lot of our social interactions are around music and celebrations as well. So, I think we actually use it in our day-to-day lives as a therapeutic tool. If we're going through, an emotional time, we'll turn to music that really, speaks to us at that moment when we're celebrating. Mm-hmm. The same theory applies. So we kind of harness that as music therapists in different ways along people's health journeys, from, from very early on. We work with, when people are born prematurely, to connect infant to their parents' voices through singing, all the way through to end of life, which is where I work to support, legacy, to support memories, to support, symptom management around pain and relaxation and existential distress. Through music. So
okay,
that's a brief explanation of it.
Yeah, pretty brief, but a good one. Thanks. I imagine that most graduates at Yavne College would opt for law or medicine or even accounting. What made you want to become a musician and then a music therapist?
I think, music for me was always a hobby. It was never something that I felt like I needed to do every day of my life. And I think you summed it up quite well. Coming from a Jewish school, we were really geared towards becoming a doctor, a lawyer, accountant, something like quite secure. I remember in VCE, just as we were about to finish, looking at the course guidebook, and the only thing I knew I wanted to do was to help people in a creative capacity. And the school I went to, it didn't really support that. And I just remember looking through the course book, and I found psychology and management marketing as an undergraduate course. So I did that and ended up not wanting to do marketing because it wasn't really aligned with my values. And then with psychology, it wasn't that much of a practical course. It was very academic based, and I didn't want to, you know, I think I was 19 or 20 at the time when I finished the course, and I didn't want to spend another 3 years becoming a psychologist. So I kind of spent my 20s in different industries, and one of those industries was in construction. So my dad's business was in construction, so I just kind of fell into that. Worked for him for a few years, just doing kind of office work. I didn't know what my passion was. I didn't know what my calling was. And I think what led me to music therapy was just this curiosity about what other careers were out there. And I just remember speaking to everybody that I met. I was really curious about what they did. And I was at a friend's birthday when I was about 25. And we were having a jam session in the person's backyard, and I was speaking to this guy, and he said he was a music therapist. And at the time, it was one of those light bulb moments that I'll remember forever. So shout out to Paul, who guided me to doing music therapy. And from that point on, I just looked further into what music therapy was and did some observation.
And we're speaking to Rodney Pollack, a music therapist. Could you explain about the different strategies and perhaps different types of music that you apply with clients and patients of different ages, background, medical conditions, etc.?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a few ways of answering this. I think, you know, when we're talking about familiar music, you know, it's really, in order to form that answer, it's really about finding out what the goals are around the people I'm working with. I always see music as a bridge to people's worlds, whether that's their internal worlds and their emotions, their memories, or their external worlds, whether it's like how they engage with the world or even the way they're breathing. So, you know, with familiar music, it's a really kind of easy access point. But then I think a lot of the time, you know, when I'm working now, there's a lot of improvisation work that's done to like really regulate people's nervous systems. I think whether I'm working in mental health, you know, supporting people with their anxiety and stress or trauma, or whether it's, you know, palliative care, where they're at their end of their lives and they're, you know, there's breathing difficulties or there's some, you know, emotional distress or acceptance. Using kind of varied instruments, kind of regulating the nervous system and doing a guided relaxation with multiple instruments. So, you know, whether that's guitar or a handpan or yudaki, didgeridoo, or a flute, just giving people like a full spectrum of a soundscape that actually they can connect to different parts of themselves through that process.
And you mentioned how music therapy actually helps breathing. Could you explain how it's done?
Yeah, so, you know, we're all, I like to think of us as walking metronomes. So that's kind of the TikTok things that keep us in time. But we've got our heartbeat that has a, you know, fairly steady beat, fairly consistent. And if you're experiencing any stress or anxiety, we often have a heightened breath. Or, you know, if towards, you know, at the end of the life, some people's breathing is quite labored and it's quite difficult for people to breathe, or if they've got a lung disorder like COPD or emphysema, it's difficult for people to breathe. So what we do with music is something called entrainment, which is the ISO principle, so where you can actually play a tempo or a rhythm that is kind of in time with their breathing, and then you slow the rhythm down, and what happens is that the breathing synchronizes to the music.
Here is a song you chose to play for us. This is you playing on the guitar, John Lennon, Imagine. Let's listen for a couple of seconds.
Imagine there's no heaven. try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
You know, it really, I think it's quite a timeless song that, you know, is relevant when he wrote it, and it is relevant today. I think it's a really reflective song. I think people can, it really resonates for people kind of across all ages and experiences.
Beautiful.
And I guess it provides a sense of hope for the world as well.
I would assume that most of your clients are religious, like in our community, and you would probably play for them some powerful Jewish tunes like Avinu Malkeinu.
Yeah, I have over the years a handful of Jewish clients and people that I've worked with. You know, Avinu Malkeinu is often a song that I go to, you know, as it's a deeply powerful song. I think, you know, it's a prayer song around Yom Kippur, and at the same time it's like very reflective. We're always surrounded by family. It's it can be a deeply powerful song, so that's one I turn to as well. You know, music is, it touches, you know, our souls. It's so deeply embedded in the story of our lives. I like to think that we all have a soundtrack to our lives through music. And I kind of mentioned this before, just in terms of how music is processed in the brain. It doesn't just, it's not just processed in one area where we're processing, you know, the music. It's also deeply embedded into our memory center as well. So there's a strong connection to memories and music, and that's why it can kind of just really, like, when we hear a song, doesn't matter what's going on for us, if we're, you know, thinking about whatever it is, as soon as we hear a song that speaks to us, that we have a memory towards, it will just take us out of whatever moment we're in and into that container as music, and deeply connect us to our emotions.
Look, I've got one last question. Are there any benefits for some kind of modified music therapy in the context of companies, organizations, perhaps in the parliament or even the Israeli Knesset?
It's a very interesting question, and yeah, thank you for asking that. I've actually started doing working as a music therapist in corporate spaces for staff well-being, and I think, you know, there's definitely space for it. And I guess, you know, in organizations and companies, there's such a focus on, you know, it's a highly stressful environment, and it's nice to see that organizations are starting to really look after their staff. And so I think our music therapy can benefit in terms of, you know, people, like, regulating people's nervous systems, allowing them time just to, like, have some space in the day, similar to maybe having yoga, but it's a little bit deeper process with music therapy, I would say.
Okay. Rodney Polak, music therapist from Melbourne, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.